Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the SyrupCast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke and Brad Bennett, a man who refers to himself as the bad boy of tech. He's across the internet from me. How are you doing, Brad?
Good. You know, being bad. Been out there living my Top Gun lifestyle, testing drones. So pretty bad boy stuff this week, actually.
You have a drone review coming, don't you?
Yep. DJI Mavic 3. If you're into DJI Mavics, you've probably seen lots of coverage because the entire internet has already done this, but we don't do a lot of drones. So I'm just trying to take my time with this one, do it right, and hopefully provide some interesting perspectives. We'll see. But it's cool. I will say that if you're money is no object and looking for the best drone, this is probably the one to go for. The pictures and video is really spectacular. Yeah, the money is no object is a really big caveat there, because if money is an object, there's about three other drones you should be going for. Anyway, talk about it later.
And we also have John Lamont on the podcast with us today. I think you've been on like every episode recently, pretty much.
Yeah, this is like, I don't know, my third or fourth episode in a row.
You're on a roll.
Got a good streak going.
On a streak. And we also have Dean here. Dean, last but not least, how are you doing?
Good. It's kind of weird. I'm talking to like Bennett. It's all pixelated on my screen. John's all pixelated. You're not perfect either, Pat. But I mean, otherwise, I'm good.
Like, nobody's perfect.
You look perfect. Bennett is a moving pixel. John is a moving pixel. Something to do with the software we use, Zencastr. I don't know. And it wasn't always like this. It only happened in the last couple months, I think.
Hey, well, before we hit record, I feel like it's visible. Like, can you see me before we hit record? I could see all you guys, but I lose John.
Yeah, I was able to. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see you pretty clearly.
Yeah. This is a reoccurring segment on the podcast. In case you're a new listener, we always start off and we just chirp Zencastr, the podcasting platform that came so graciously out of the blue during the pandemic to allow us to do this, but then got worse for some reason throughout. Thank you, Zencastr. Welcome to the SyrupCast.
Thankfully, this isn't a podcast about Zencastr and our various technical difficulties recording this remotely. Today, we're going to be talking exclusively about the Pixel 6 and the Pixel 6 Pro. John handled our Pixel 6 review. Dean handled our Pixel 6 Pro review. We have a couple of fun questions prepared for them to delve into their different reviews. And we kind of picked this topic because there's a lot of hype behind these phones. They're very popular. I know people that like have no interest in smartphones that went out and bought them. And for me, that's always like a barometer for interest. But before we get to the core of the show, Bennett, hit us with the hottest news of the week.
This might come up later, but I just don't want to forget about it. But like you said, the people who are friends who are buying Pixel 6s are people who you wouldn't typically think are into phones. But for me, at least, they're all people who have used at least one Pixel in the past. And that's hooked them. Everyone that seemed to have been using one Pixel in the past, right, these last three sort of years, has been hooked. It's sort of like having, you know, its moment. This might be the second Pixel for a lot of people, I'm thinking. Anyway, to the hottest news.
I'll talk about it later, but like my brother went out and bought two Pixel 6 Pros outright, right? And he is not the type of person that gets like a new smartphone all the time. So that's another indication to me that like this is a phone that people that know a little bit about phones are paying attention to.
This is a phone for the people. The people's the people. Phone.
Okay.
Hit us with the news. I don't know if this is the biggest thing. This has kind of been swirling around, and Netflix has kind of like dragged this out to make it a very like long news cycle, but they've announced or released 5 games on mobile. I think the Stranger Things games were already a thing. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but they're putting games out on mobile, you know, ranging from weird mobile RPGs, the Stranger Things games, to more of like traditional arcade style games that you would play while waiting in line or something. And kind of an interesting turn for Netflix. it makes sense, I think, for us, because we've been watching the news. We've seen Netflix be like, oh, Fortnite is stealing eyes from us. We don't care about Disney Plus and HBO, but we care about those Fortnite guys. To then now see them making their own games, it's kind of interesting.
They're on iOS now too, I believe, right?
Yeah, they're out on both, yeah. Both mobile platforms. I think the Stranger Things game you can get on PC, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, Netflix makes games.
What strikes me as the most interesting about this is how Netflix went about it. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I don't know, a while back, Microsoft and Apple kind of got into a spat over game streaming on iOS, and Apple basically put out policies that said you can't do a game streaming platform on iOS in the way that Microsoft wanted to do it, which is you download one app and you have access to all these different games. Apple wanted every single game to be individually available in the App Store. And that's kind of the way that Netflix has done it. So you can go and download all the Netflix games from the App Store or the Play Store if you're on Android. But to play them, you need the Netflix subscription, and then you can, like, the app links between them. So you can open up the Netflix app and you can press the games tab and you can see your games and you can launch them from Netflix. But it's weird that they're, like, individually available as well.
How do you feel about it? How do you feel about them launching with sort of, like, I mean, I haven't played them, so I'm just going to assume from, I've looked at the screenshots, I've watched the video, I've read a little bit, I haven't played them, I will say that, but they don't look good. How do you feel about Netflix potentially launching, like, 5 average games? You know, do you think that they should have launched with something?
Mobile games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just, but, like, do you think they should have launched with something that, like, might have hooked people or done something, you know? Do you think they should have launched with something that would have gained the news cycle with, this is a good game, rather than Netflix is in gaming?
Yeah, I can't speak to the Stranger Things games because I haven't played those, but I do think there's definitely an opportunity for Netflix to take advantage of some of its own IP, like Stranger Things and, you know, some of the other Netflix shows and movies, and kind of do gaming content in those areas that is only available through Netflix. I think there's definitely maybe a niche market for that, but there's something there. The other mobile games, I played one, I don't remember what it's called, but you have to, like, tap the sides of the screen to make this platform go up, and you tap the right side of the screen and the right side of the platform goes up, and you have to, like, balance it to keep a ball on the platform from falling off. And I played it for, like, 5 minutes and was like, this is incredibly stupid. It's, like, very much your basic bare bones mobile game that is kind of just there to, well, the Netflix one doesn't have ads, but, like, if I were to download a non-Netflix version of that game from the Play Store, like, the entire point of that game is to just be having you just send ads to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe, like, I guess maybe they're trying to hopefully catch on some, like, random viral Flappy Bird thing, but I don't see it happening. There's one thing I was about to say.
It's also a little weird because Netflix's business model is subscriptions. Right? So they don't make more money for the more time that people spend in their app.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a little bit weird to me that they're kind of pushing these things like games with the idea of, like, trying to get people to spend more time in Netflix when there's no correlation between, like, time spent. If I watch no Netflix movies in a month, but I still pay my Netflix subscription, Netflix is still making money. Arguably, they're making more than if they have to make a bunch of content to keep me watching, right?
Yeah, I think Dean, my, do you want to say something?
Go ahead.
I actually don't remember it at all. I think this sounds familiar. Like, I think I did a game of the week on it, like, in 2017 for the Stranger Things game. Like,
they're supposed to be okay. They're like a throwback kind of like NES RPG sort of thing. From what I've heard, they're supposed to be fine. I was just gonna say my take on this Netflix thing is it's like mindshare. They just want more eyes on the platform for longer periods of time, and these mobile games, as uninspired and, like, not super interesting as they are, I think this is just Netflix dipping its toe in the waters, like, trying to figure out how this might work, seeing how people respond to it, and then you might see a more significant investment down the line, possibly, if it pans out the way that they're hoping. But it's a little bizarre to me. Like, I don't think I will ever think of games when I think of Netflix. And I think that that's what they're trying to change.
One thing I will I think they'll be able to get like crazy viral hype when they tie, if they start tying games into shows. If there would have been a Squid Game app that's like, here are the games from Squid Game, play them with your friends, like that up card game that Ellen did, it's like that shit would, that beep would have been number one in the app store for sure, right? Am I crazy?
What were you going to say, Dean?
Well, I was just thinking, like, if I have never, if I've always heard of Stranger Things, I've never played, like, never seen the show, and I see that Netflix has a game, or if I'm just scrolling through the App Store or Play Store, and I see this game, and then I click on it, and then like, well, this is kind of interesting. I like this old style, of the theme and stuff. Maybe I should watch this show. That might happen.
That's true. It could tie back that way too. You're right. You're right. That being said, if you haven't watched, well, I guess you maybe have a Netflix subscription. But the thing John said at the beginning, where it's like you need the Netflix subscription to even play these games, it seems like.
Yeah.
Nuts. Seems nuts. But it all makes sense. And what Pat said, I guess, about like dipping your toe and creating that mind share from now. Yeah, it's pretty lackluster now. In a year from now, there may be one or two apps in there that are truly keeping people attached to the platform. Who knows? Should we move on?
Right, what else? What other news do you have for us?
Nothing is fun. Just one thing I want to talk about, Black Friday being a myth, basically. Just a shout out to anyone on Mobile Syrup that's listening. We've got tons of Black Friday content already up because, I don't know, Black Friday I thought was on the 27th, but every store is just doing sales already, and they will probably be doing sales until January 1st from here till then.
I think we might even do like a Black Friday deal special the week of Black Friday, maybe on the podcast.
That could be fun.
Occurred to me, like coming up with like our favorite deals or something like that. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Opportunity to have Karan on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He does have a mic and stuff now.
Yeah. What was I going to say? But yeah, basically, you know, if you're looking for deals, specifically tech deals, check out Mobile Syrup Daily. We're trying to write what we find as the best ones. So, you know, holiday shopping is coming up. You want to save money. We're trying to help you. Don't be mad about all the deals. We're just trying to help. People like reading them. Happy shopping.
The only thing I was going to say about Black Friday is what's a little different this year is, and I know it's like this in years past, but more so this year than any other year, it feels like it's Black Friday month.
Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you could go to our
sales already.
Today.
Like, I just bought a camera on a Black Friday deal yesterday. It's only November 10th, right? And that sale goes until like past Black Friday. Yeah. So like the deals are just going to keep going.
Is Cyber Monday, is that after Black Friday or is that after Boxing Day?
Yeah, it's after Black Friday.
And it sucks in Canada usually. It's like really not a thing.
I think I actually find it like it's not usually that bad. Like it's...
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. It's never... it's not as good as Black Friday, but it's not as bad. Usually.
Maybe it's the stuff you're looking for, right? Like maybe it's the type of thing you're trying to buy compared to what I'm trying to look for.
One thing I will say actually, a little Black Friday pro tip from Brad, shopping tip is... Previously, everyone I think that's listening probably knows, Mobile Syrup was bought by Blue Ant. We have corporate backing now, so we get like a corporate Adobe plan. But previously, everyone just got their own Adobe plans. And up until that point, I would buy my plan every year on Black Friday, half the price, all the apps. So if you like Adobe and you want Photoshop and Premiere and Audition and all those jazz, Black Friday, it goes on sale, half the price, has done it for the past 3 years. And it's saved you like... I think it's like $200. That's pretty good.
Pretty sure it's going to happen again too.
That's exactly.
And for gamers, Game Pass is usually $1, right? I mean,
I can talk about
Black Friday day deals all day long. Like I usually know them all. Like
next week,
50% off the PlayStation Store. I'm ready. Let's go.
I guess the next bit of news, and this just happened yesterday, but Twitter Blue, which is Twitter's subscription service. Speaking of Netflix and getting mindshare and getting people to pay for crazy things, Twitter Blue is here. So if you want to have a buffer so you can undo a tweet. Twitter Blue is there. And then what else can you get from it? You can undo a tweet. You can...
there's like news aggregation.
Yeah, news aggregation. And then like there's another... I don't know who's typing this. I don't know what quick news is.
Someone's typing in the notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't ignore the notes. Just keep talking. Let's go.
Keep talking.
What is quick news? You finished the note, I thought. Anyway, Twitter Blue is here. It's alive in US and Canada, probably for no one. I don't see anyone taking advantage of it. Does anyone on this panel think that they will ever pay for Twitter Blue?
No.
Is it like $3 a month?
I just don't have any reason to, right? Like maybe if they gave me an edit button, because I'm notorious for like tweeting hot takes with spelling errors and then deleting them and then posting them and then still having more spelling errors and then deleting them again and then posting them again.
I often save them when you do that.
There is an undo button.
And you're like, yo, what are you talking about?
But the undo button, I think it's like with email. It's like you only get a certain amount of time before you can't undo it anymore.
Yeah, I think it's the same, yeah.
Yeah, so Twitter Blue, it's here. Maybe they'll add more features. It's like the Netflix thing. It's like maybe in the future it'll be something, but they just like launched it and it's pretty soft. We don't care about that, but we're talking about it anyway.
Yeah. Also, my understanding is several of the new features that were added along with it, like the undo button is probably the biggest, but they did some like thing where now if you open news articles, you don't have to see the ads if you're a subscriber, but it's like super limited and it only works from Twitter, and it only works if you click certain links on Twitter that are in like the Twitter card thing. So it's just like a lot of the features feel kind of half-baked or, you know, not fully functional, and it just makes me less likely to pay for the service.
I don't need to pay to use the Hellscape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, give me a useful feature, maybe I'll consider it, but nothing here is drawing me in. So we'll see how much revenue Twitter makes off. It'll be interesting, I guess. And then the last thing we just had in the quick news is the TTC. So if you live in Toronto, like us, the TTC is the Transit Commission, runs all the buses, the subway, the streetcars, all that jazz. They got hacked, ransomware. And if you work there, you probably lost your personal information, your address, SIN number, credit card information. Good stuff. And I don't know. I don't have much of a hot take on it because like that's obviously just like a terrible thing to happen to people. But like there's something to be said about like having this like modern workplace where you have to be aware that you need like cyber insurance at your job, because if you work at a high profile enough business, they could get hacked and that could just like affect you as a person. And that, like, I feel so bad for those people. You know what I mean? Like,
imagine just being a bus driver. Someone would hack the TTC. Like what?
It's worth millions. You know, it was a ransomware hack, so they were holding it. They were holding files and information ransom until they were paid.
Did they end up paying?
Is that what ransomware means? Oh my god!
Yeah,
that makes so much sense.
I don't know. They got a lot of stuff back, so I'm assuming they paid. But like, I haven't seen a lot of news about it, so maybe it was like pretty behind the scenes.
Interesting.
I know they were able to like
counter hack it. I don't know. But basically, I don't think so. Maybe they didn't pay because, yeah, all this information is like been compromised. Customers of the TTC are compromised. Like, I don't know. It's less about this being the TTC because it doesn't really apply to listeners, but it's just like interesting to think about that in 5 years. Like, even now, we should be worrying about it, but I'm sure in 5 years, we all will be worrying about it more frequently, you know? Like, 5 years ago, I didn't worry about having a different password for everything, but I've been hacked now and I have to worry about it for everything now. You know what I mean? So, like, the times change.
McDonald's account was hacked.
Exactly. The times change and it's sad.
My claim to fame.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the Pixel 6 and the Pixel 6 Pro. I think a good way to kick this off, and Bennett, I know you suggested this. We have it kind of divided like after this into different sections, but I guess a good way to start talking about this is like, John, you're very adamant about preferring the Pixel 6. Dean, you prefer the Pixel 6 Pro. To kick it off, John, why do you prefer the Pixel 6 over the Pixel 6 Pro?
It just makes more sense to me. So there's a few kind of preferential things that are like just my opinion, things that I prefer. I don't like super big phones. The Pixel 6 is a massive phone, but it's not quite as massive as the 6 Pro. I don't like curved display glass. You know, just those are a bunch of like little personal preference things about the phone that is part of my decision. But the overall thing that I would say for anybody who's trying to decide between these two phones is there's about a roughly $400 difference in price. The Pixel 6 is $800 in Canada, $799.99 if you want to be exact, but it's $800. And the 6 Pro is, somebody is calling me. Let me just mute that.
Should answer it live on the podcast.
Yeah, do answer it live.
Answer it live. I'm pretty sure it's a spam call. I'm going to screen call it.
Even better.
Yeah, so the Pixel 6 Pro, is $1,179. So just shy of a $400 difference between the two. And the extra stuff that you get with the Pro for that $400 price difference to me is not worth the extra $400. You get a telephoto lens on the camera. You get a bigger screen, which I don't want. The screens are already too big. and you get a higher screen refresh rate, which just kills the battery faster. So for me, the extra $400 is totally not worth it. And if the cost, the price, the value for money is your main concern, I think the 6 is a much better value option.
Dean, I think I know what you're going to say. And it's going to be the opposite of what John's saying. But why do you prefer the Pro over the standard Pixel 6?
Well, the opposite of what John said. No, I prefer the I like bigger phones. I'm I've always liked the, I can't think of big phones right now for some reason, but I like bigger phones.
iPhone Pro Max, and use the Fold, you use like,
yeah, the Fold, the huge Huawei phones, huge Samsung phones, huge phones in general. I like curved edges. I think it makes the phone feel better in your hand. So like Pixel 6 in my hand, like my hand kind of just wraps around it. Whereas iPhone 13 Pro, this feels weird. I don't like it in comparison. I just think the curve, it's like, it's more like your hand kind of has a curve and it fits better in my opinion. So yeah. I prefer that. I like the telephoto lens. I think that more phones should have it. And it's, I found it useful, as I was testing out the phone. The bigger battery may not be worth it because, the battery life isn't like the great, like I'm using the 13 Pro Max a lot right now. And I'm like, dang, this has good battery life. And I didn't think that with the Pixel 6 Pro, but, also
you still get through like a day, right?
Yeah, I get through a day. That's what it needs to do. I love higher hertz screens, and although John points out it might consume a little bit more battery, it's adaptable, right? So when you're not using, you're not trying to scroll or whatever, it goes back down to 11 hertz. So it's not like, or 10 hertz, something like that. So it's not like a huge, I don't think it's a huge battery drain, although I've never turned it off, so I cannot say definitely. But I like higher hertz. Although, can I tell the major difference between 90 hertz and 120? Not exactly, but I can definitely tell that like it definitely feels a lot more substantial than 60. So, yeah, it is almost an extra $400 for sure, and that might not be worth it for a lot of people, but I mean, it is also like $200 or $300 cheaper than the iPhone 13 Pro. Not even the Pro Max, but just the Pro. Or no, I think it's $200 cheaper than that and whatever. You're going to compare it. Or the S22 Ultra is $1,500, right? At least when it was when it came out. So it's still a good price for a
flagship. That's good context, yeah. I don't know if it's cheaper than a OnePlus 9 right now because I think they're on sale. But yeah, like I think it's similarly priced to that, which is like about as cheap as they get for flagship.
Google was crazy this year of pricing. Last year, the Pixel 5 was affordable, but that wasn't really a flagship, right? Like, I mean, we talked about whole flagships versus mid-range and stuff. I think we had a whole podcast on that.
That's true.
But like the cost of the Pixel 6 is the exact same cost as of the Pixel 5 when it came out. And the Pixel 6 is actual flagship. So like the Pixel 6 is not a bad buy. I would never tell anyone not to get it. But I held John's phone for like a minute at over the weekend. And I was like, ooh, this kind of feels like the iPhone. And I don't like that. I don't like how sharp it, I guess.
I liked it. I was getting Note vibes from it, and I was really into it.
Yeah, I've never...
Note, like Samsung Galaxy Note vibes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is very exactly. Note.
It's very square. But like
the good ones, the new ones, yeah.
Which so, I actually thought I wouldn't like the squared off kind of design of the Pixel 6, but it's grown on me a lot since I've had it. I still find it to be very large, but I've gotten used to the size. But yeah,
what phone are you going from though? Like, I think that it's also worth putting into context that.
So I was coming from a Pixel 4a, which is really small. That's what I was using right before the Pixel 6. But kind of over the last year, I've been bouncing around between the 4a and the 4a 5g, and I always kind of felt like the 4a 5g was just a little bit bigger than I would have liked, and now the 4a 5g feels positively tiny in my hands. Even though it's still a large phone, it's just small compared to the 6.
Yeah. I came from an iPhone 12 Pro, so 6.1 inches, and then also a Pixel 5. Those were the phones I was using before. And when I first held the Pixel 6 Pro, I was just like, what the hell is this? It's this heavy. It's huge. But I got used to it within, like, I think a few hours. So, I mean, I totally get preferring smaller phones as well. But, I mean, I've given it to some of my friends who, like, I guess, have large hands. Maybe, I don't know. But they're like, oh, my God, this is the perfect size. And I'm like, the perfect size is a little stretch. But it is great. Yeah.
Yeah,
one other argument in favor of the Pixel 6 is the Pixel 6 has the more fun color options with your, I think it's sort of seafoam, which is like the green color, and the kind of coral, which is like the orangey peach color. I think the colors are way more fun. And the camera bump is placed higher on the Pixel 6, so there's less of a like a empty strip above the camera bump. It's a very subtle difference, but I find it looks a little bit nicer, at least in my opinion, than the 6 Pro with its very large top section.
Big phones for the win.
I like the camera bump on both of them. I think that's
controversial. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I think it was controversial. But
I think it's huge. Sorry. As I say, I put my phone in a case, so I don't notice the camera bump as much anymore. But like when I take it out, every time I'm like, oh my God, this is a huge camera bump.
One of the things that I wanted to bring up, like, and I'll preface this with, I think it's a little, when phones come out, we often find issues with them. Like, I think the iPhone series every year is under like a pretty significant microscope. I feel like Google has a reputation for its Pixel devices having hardware problems. In some sense, I feel like that's a little unfair. I think it's like people like us look at those phones in a different light because they're coming from Google. And I think fans of those phones are people that are a little more technically minded. So these issues just get, like, I don't want to say blown out of proportion, but they get far more coverage than they would than another device. John, I know you've done a bit of reporting on this for us already, and there's even some stuff that's appeared today, but are there any significant issues with the 6 and the 6 Pro this year, or like, are the problems confined to like one version of the phone, or are there any problems at all?
Almost everything that I've seen so far has been software. It's not hardware. I'm not sure what came out today. I haven't seen that yet. So I don't know if you want to share a little bit about that thing.
I think it's just Google offering updates on like that they're aware of these problems and trying to fix them.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, everything I've seen has been primarily software, and it's mostly been the Pixel 6 Pro that I've seen reported on, but I think that might be because that's kind of the more popular option. Like you said, the audience for the Pixel typically is people who are a little bit more technical, they're enthusiasts, stuff like that, and those people are more likely to go for the 6 Pro over the 6. So, and those people are also more likely to, you know, go on Reddit and complain about issues that they've found. So I think that's part of why it seems like the 6 Pro might have more issues than the 6, because enthusiasts are buying the phone, they're encountering issues, they're writing about it, and then people report on it. That being said, everything so far has mostly been software. There was a screen flicker issue with the 6 Pro where when the phone was off, if you press the button, the screen would like do this weird flicker thing. Google says they're aware of that problem and there's a fix incoming. In December, I believe the December patch should fix that. There was an assistant calling bug where Google Assistant would, when there was no sound, nobody talking or anything like that, Google Assistant would just start a phone call to someone in your contacts list. That also appears to be a software bug that I believe I wrote about Google being aware of it and a fix coming for that as well. That one was really strange because the people who had the issue could reproduce it by basically activating Google Assistant and then not saying anything. And after a few seconds, it would just start calling someone. And it might kind of be linked into people who had a previous phone and then they ported their data over to the Pixel. But it's not totally clear what's going on with that. And for now, the easy solution for that issue is to disable Assistant on the lock screen so it can't activate when you're not using the phone. And then you don't have to worry about it calling people. I've had a few minor issues on my Pixel 6 during the review period. I had a bunch of software features that just didn't work or weren't available on the phone at all. But that changed after some updates started rolling out. There was like a day one patch basically that I think was delivered to most reviewers' phones, but it didn't arrive on mine until after the review went live. And then I've had an issue with the screen on my phone having a very slight green tint and a weird flicker that appears to be related to the 90 hertz panel. But these are issues that I've seen on other phones, and it seems to be more of an OLED panel issue than a Pixel specific issue. And basically it's just whatever panel is in the Pixel 6, when you run it at 90 hertz, it's like this adaptive thing where it'll switch down to 60 hertz when you're not using it. And on gray screens, you can see a flicker where the gray, like the brightness of the gray, changes when it switches between 90 hertz and 60 hertz. So it's not super noticeable, but it's still kind of there, and it's a little bit annoying if you like using the phone in dark mode.
Dean, did you have any problems at all with your phone?
So wait, I move away from that. How do you even like, when would that even apply? Like, it's just in any dark mode app, it's like starts flickering whenever leave it on, so, on like whenever you're not touching it, or like that sounds awful. Like, is this happening a lot, or is this like pretty random?
So it's pretty consistently in dark mode apps, but ones that use like a gray background, not the full black background. So for example, you know, like Google Messages and other Google apps that have that kind of like gray background, that's where it's most noticeable. And I find it's more noticeable on lower brightnesses. And it's just a very slight, like subtle shift in the screen's brightness when it changes from 90 hertz to 60 hertz. And it's an issue I've seen before on the Pixel 4, actually. And
so it's less of a flicker and more of a change then? Or like, is it consistently flickering?
It's not like it'll happen and then it won't. So like, it's not like it's sitting there flickering back and forth between the two states. It'll happen and then it'll stay in the one state and it'll flicker back when that 60 to 90 hertz change happens. So if I lock the phone to 60 hertz, or if I lock the phone to 90 hertz, I don't see it at all. But if I let it stay on the adaptive mode where it switches between the two, that's where you notice it.
Is this something that can be fixed through software, you think? Or is it like a pure hardware problem that like if Google were to solve it, it would have to be like a revision down the line?
I believe it could be fixed through software because, as I mentioned before, I've seen this issue on the Pixel 4 because it had the same thing with a 60 hertz, 90 hertz display and could swap between the two refresh rates. And that was fixed via software. So hopefully Google fixes it at some point. But it's really not that big of an issue. Like it's not super noticeable unless you're like really paying attention to your phone and you use it in dark mode all the time.
That makes sense. Dean, did you have problems with your?
No, I did not. It's a really funny thing we have here. Whenever we get Pixels for the last 3 years, John's seems to have more problems than mine. I think last year I ended up getting two Pixel 5s because I had like a camera issue, but
yeah,
turns out the camera was just shitty and just
it was focusing.
I mean, not shitty, but it just wasn't the greatest. No, it just was fuzzy. Like it was, yeah, focusing, okay. As you can see behind the two Pixel 5s. But yeah, no, I didn't really have any issues. I'm not saying that my screen, I don't have an assistant call-in bug at all. A screen flicker, I don't see it. And John 60 to 90 hertz, it might be an issue with my phone as well, but I don't use dark mode ever because I think it's ugly. So I wouldn't ever get to see it, right? So
I think you might be okay with that as well because your display has a wider range of adaptability because it can go from 10 hertz to 120 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think you might escape that.
Okay. But yeah, no, I don't have any issues except for, yeah, nothing. I mean, I think the battery drains too quickly, but I mean, that can just be how the phone is supposed to be, right? I noticed that some people were complaining about the fingerprint sensor taking too long to activate or like to use, but that's not Yeah, but that's not an issue. Google has come out and said it's supposed to take longer than any other phone because it's doing more work to authenticate who you really are, apparently. Like, it's using more software. So, and for me personally, it doesn't take too long. It's just, it feels like a normal fingerprint sensor. It's for sure slower than Pixel Imprint on the Pixel 5, I've come to notice, because that was instantaneous, but it's not a crazy long fingerprint sensor for me. So, I mean, I have noticed that sometimes it fails, but I have that same issue with every phone. Usually I actually insert like my fingerprint twice. Like, you know, it gives you options to save like five fingers.
That happens to me too.
I'll do the same finger twice because it's just such an issue. And I haven't needed to do that with the Pixel 6 Pro because it works mostly well. So I think that's that was a good sign.
If I can just add on to that really quickly, I haven't noticed any issues with fingerprint sensor speed on the 6. My only real complaint about it, and this is an issue I've had with basically any in-display fingerprint scanner, so it's not exclusive to the 6, but I have very sweaty hands, and so when my hands are moist, I find the sensor has a harder time reading my fingerprints, so I have to do the old wipe my hand on my shirt before I do the scan, but that's a pretty common issue for me.
I was going to say that's pretty standard with any fingerprint sensor, though, because I also have sweaty fingers. I've run into that issue a ton of times. I don't know if that's exclusive to the Pixel, right? Like, I think, like you said, that's a pretty broad, just like on my Mac, like the new MacBook Pro, half the time the fingerprint sensor doesn't work because my finger is sweaty. You know what I mean?
I think for that it'd be optical versus ultrasonic, whereas Samsung's it should work despite it being a little sweaty because it's an ultrasonic sensor, whereas everyone else uses an optical sensor, and your print will look different if it's wet.
I'm also convinced that laptops have terrible fingerprint sensors. I don't know what the deal is with the MacBook, but every laptop I've used, the fingerprint sensor is super hit or miss.
It's not untrue. Okay, let's quickly hit an ad break. I know Bennett has tons of questions for you guys too. He's going to go through those after the break, but let's listen to some lovely commercial noise.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we're back. Bennett, hit him with your toughest questions about the Pixel 6 and the 6 Pro.
Oh, well, there's just one thing I wanted to say before we get away from all that fingerprint chatting conversations is the only thing I want Google to change is when you put your passcode, your PIN code in, you have to hit enter. So like say your PIN code 1234 and then enter. But like on the iPhone, on OnePlus, you just hit the passcode 1234 and then it throws you into the system. You don't have to hit the enter button. And I hate it. I know Google's not listening. I know no one is listening even cares about this. But I hate it. I just wish that I put the passcode in and we'd move on as we're moving on to my questions.
It is one extra button, you lazy bum.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, I can get like such Venice a good defense. Flow of hitting like pop, pop, pop. And then like I have to like readjust to
breaking
go down.
Breaking his flow.
I'm all about it.
That has bugged me for years with Android phones. But I haven't noticed it on the Pixel 6 because I very rarely actually type in my passcode. I almost always use a fingerprint scanner.
That's true. I only use the 4A 5G still, so I use the back one, and it's often like sitting on a table. So
The 6 is a little bit annoying because if you accidentally activate the PIN, it blocks the fingerprint scanner.
Oh,
so like sometimes I'll open the I'll go to unlock my phone and I'll swipe the lock screen by accident and bring up the PIN pad to unlock it that way, and then I'm like, oh, now I can't scan my finger anymore.
Just go back.
Go back. Yeah, but it's annoying. On OnePlus phones, they move the PIN pad so that you can still access the fingerprint scanner.
Really?
So that's just a nice little change.
I've not noticed that. I mean,
Yeah. I'm not sure if you can. I don't know. I'm like lost on OnePlus. I'm like, the last time I used it is ColorOS now, and I hated it, and I haven't picked it up since. I haven't touched a OnePlus phone in a while. But anyway, moving on. I want to talk about the zoom lens on the Pixel 6 Pro, Dean. Do you know how far?
Let's go.
Yeah. Do you know how far it goes? It's not as far as the iPhone, but it's almost as far, right?
It's further.
It's further? Okay.
Like, it's like, isn't iPhone only like 2 times?
That was three.
Three times.
Well, the Pixel 6 Pro is 4.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I knew one of them was like a little.
Do you know it's 10 times?
All right. It's in my hand. This is 10 times. I'm aware.
I just wanted to mention it because I do. That phone has the best. We're talking about the Galaxy S21.
One Ultra.
21
Ultra. We're on one. Yeah.
I don't remember anymore at this point. It's been a long year. It's been a long life. The 10 times zoom is sick. Like I was very impressed with it. Like, building off Bennett's question, how does it compare to that? Like, I know it's not going as far, but is it as clear?
There is that super zoom tech. Is that like bridging the gap at all? Yeah.
So I haven't actually used the S21 Ultra's 10 times zoom. I know I have the phone. I just haven't gotten to that part of the testing yet. Because I've just started to use the iPhone. I only got the iPhone last week, so I'm like, I'm gonna give a week with that, a week with
the iPhone. Why do you have all these phones? Tell the listeners.
So that I may compare all three of them and tell you which is the best big flagship to buy that's not the Z Fold, because no one's buying that one. So out of these three, I'm gonna compare them and tell you which one you should get or which one I would get. But yeah, no. So I haven't used the 10 times zoom. Going off your pictures though, the 10 times zoom is clearly the better option. The 20 times ultra reds zoom on, I don't think it's called that, but the 20 times zoom on the Pixel 6 Pro
uses super res.
Yeah. Uses, it's like a hybrid. There is no pure digital zoom. Well, I mean, I think it was, if you try to go in between, it's digital, but the 20 times zoom is hybrid. So it's not horrible. In my review, I took a picture of Stephen Amell on it from the back of a room in Fan Expo. And I mean, I can clearly tell it's him. It just doesn't look great. I mean, like it looks blurry. Definitely not the 10 times zoom. It's, I think, even on my P30 Pro, its 10 times zoom, which was hybrid, was better. Google has some work to do with, I want to say, that its telephoto stuff, like its zoom quality. It's not by any means bad. Like, I thought 4x zoom did the job. In my review, I have a picture of me standing at, on like harbor front area, and I took a picture of the CN Tower, and I saw the top of the CN Tower, and the quality was great. It was almost the same, it was similar quality to like its primary shooter, but it's definitely not at the level as Samsung or even Huawei, although I know a lot of Canadians are not buying Huawei phones because of the lack of the Play Store. But yeah, it's not there yet.
No one
should
buy a Huawei phone ever.
In Canada, I would,
or the States.
Ever's tough. Yeah, maybe in a few years it could be worthwhile again. But anyway, moving on. Sort of. Well, not really moving on. Moving on from the zoom lens in particular. I want to get into Real Tone in a second, but before I want to do that, I want to ask like both of you guys. I guess actually Real Tone will play into this. But so for me, lately, really what draws me to a phone is the camera. Like, I've just become so camera obsessed in the last like year. Just like, I can't care about anything else. Do you think, as a person who is like camera obsessed, the Pixel 6 or 6 Pro would stand up comparably to an iPhone?
I don't know if you saw this, but I posted a video in the Slack channel earlier from The Verge that did... They took 1,000 photos on the Pixel 6 Pro and 1,000 photos on the iPhone 13 Pro. And they did a really great deep dive comparison between the two. Basically, the quick summary is they said that the Pixel 6 Pro's telephoto lens is definitely better than the iPhone 13 Pro. Can the 13 Pro's ultra wide is better than the Pixel 6 Pro. And their main sensor is more or less equal. It kind of just comes down to your preferences in terms of color. The 6 Pro tends to be a little bit bluer than the 13. And the 13 Pro tends to have more like warm colors. So it really just comes down to personal preference in that regard. 13 Pro is better in video, but they both have their strengths. So
what's the Pixel strength in video?
They're much more vibrant colors.
I don't know if I'm
because I've got the HDR thing in the video going now. So
yeah, I have to play it back. I want to play it back. Lately, honestly, I've been getting into HDR too. I figured out how to shoot HDR with my Fuji, and when I tried to return my MacBook because it was worked. So I'm sad about that, but I'm getting another one. And yeah, like HDR, I'm sold on it. Before it wasn't, I was like, contrast is cool, moody shots. And now it's like, no, HDR, I didn't ever until it's done. So maybe the video would switch me. Maybe I need to get my hands on one of these, but yeah.
I personally like the night options on the Pixel 6 Pro better than the iPhone 13 Pro so far in my testing.
That's interesting because that was like one of the big updates of the iPhone this year was like we now have 12 megapixel sensors on every camera with like really low apertures. We can shoot like great shots and video in low light, and you're saying that the Pixel is still beating it, which yeah, makes sense too because Google's been, you know, winding that road for years. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so far I preferred the Pixel 6 Pros better. I mean, I've only taken maybe only a couple shots in night mode for the iPhone 13 Pro, but so far what I'm seeing, I'm liking the Pixel 6 more. Main camera-wise, I'm liking the Pixel 6 more as well, but I'm testing it against, and this will go into your real tone, I'm testing it on black people, and I'm liking more what I'm seeing on the Pixel 6 Pro than what I on the iPhone 13 Pro Max. Too many names and pros, but
yeah, honestly,
yeah, why don't they just call it the XL anyways? But I'm like all together in my time with the Pixel, with the iPhone 13 Pro Max and the Pixel 6 Pro in my, it hasn't even been a full week yet, but I've been like, it has been a full week, I don't remember, but I've just been like, I should probably switch back to the Pixel 6 Pro. Camera, I'm preferring it more. I like it a lot more.
iOS is hard to beat sometimes. Okay, that's interesting. But yeah, and I guess, I mean, we answered this sort of in the video we made. If no one's seen it, we have a video about Real Tone on the website, on YouTube, on Facebook. I believe there's a TikTok version of it as well. But do you feel like that's a really big selling feature? Do you feel like it was enough of a difference compared to other phones? Or do you think there's more road to go on that one too?
I don't think there is more road. Like, I mean, obviously there's more road to go. I mean, you can always find more places to make things better, right? But mm-hmm. It is really good. I don't know if it's a selling, like, I don't know if it's a huge thing for a lot of people, but just because if you got to think about the normal consumer, they only use one phone over 2 or 3 years, right? So they're not seeing how much better it can be always, type of thing. Whereas we're testing out all these phones, and I'm noticing on the, like on a Huawei phone, my skin was super bright, or on a Samsung phone, it was better than the Huawei phone, but not as great as an iPhone. And on iPhones, we're always pretty good with skin issues, like my skin. Skin stuff. So yeah, but then the Pixel 6 Pro is now definitely the best. It doesn't always perfectly capture skin tone, but I said in that video, like, I've noticed that some of my friends look like they had like a little, not like their skin was brighter, but it looks like they had like a little light on their face. It's just hard to explain, but it looks like they're like in a spotlight or in a model video, which
I saw it in those pictures you had in the video. Like, I totally
reminds me of when you would take like an adjustment brush and really feather out the edges really wide in Photoshop, and then just you can light an area, but it would just sort of like fall off. It's a perfect example. A spotlight. Yeah.
So it's not exactly, but it doesn't make the photos worse. I mean, I don't think it makes the photos worse. I think it does keep the tone correct. It just isn't true to life. But everyone who I took those photos with, they're like, dang, please send me those photos because they're really good.
Yeah, I mean, that one we took of you was like, I still think that's like one of the better portraits I've ever taken.
Was that the one you sent me?
Pixel. Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's the Grindr profile picture right
there. All right.
yeah, John, do you have any closing thoughts on the photo real tone sort of realm?
Yeah, I think there are some instances where it could definitely be a selling feature. It really kind of depends on, you know, the person who's buying the phone and what their main goal is. If their primary focus is a camera and they want one that's going to handle diverse skin tones really well, definitely it could be a selling feature. And for me, you know, I really like it. Just, you know, thinking ahead, my wife is expecting, we're going to have a little girl next year. And
congratulations. I mean, we know we said it, but on the podcast, it's still big news.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I've talked about it on the pod. But I'm going to be taking a lot of photos, obviously, of my daughter with the phone, and my wife and daughter have diverse skin tones. Well, my daughter will have a diverse skin tone when she's born. So I'm happy knowing that I have a phone that's going to do a better job of capturing that compared to a phone that wouldn't. That's kind of where I stand on it. That's a little bit more of a personal take.
But I think there'd be lots of people with similar situations, you know?
Yeah. And if I were to go and buy a phone today, I don't know if that would be the make or break feature that would make me decide to get the Pixel 6 over something else, but it's something that I really appreciate having on the Pixel 6.
Somewhat final question to ask related to this. Like, do you guys think that this will be the start of a trend in the industry where other manufacturers will start to take more than just white people into account in regards to how their camera sensors are tweaked? Like, I can see Apple seeing this and then like doing their own take on it next year and pretending like they came up with the idea in classic Apple.
Well, fashion. Dean and I were talking about that when we made the video. Can I tell the story, Dean, or do you remember it?
Yeah, for sure. I'll tell you.
Dean's theory was basically that like Apple they'll change their algorithms and all of the demo photos we'll see will be black people or people with diverse skin tones, but they won't say anything. That's like, that was our theory that we kind of like.
Yeah. Cause why they do you won't, think they'll they do won't it like that because they won't because they don't make wanna, it like, sound like they haven't been doing this for years. Like, they don't want to make it sound like they just, is this something new? This is something they just thought of.
They want people to think that the iPhone always took good photos of people with diverse skin tones.
Yeah.
Go ahead, continue.
Honestly, like for years, I only got my first ever iPhone to like use for best smartphone of the year thing. But that was my only first time like last year. But for years, my friends have had iPhones, and I've always just been like, "Dang, like it does a good job. It's a lot better than my Samsung or Huawei or an HTC when I was loving those guys." But it's never been like a
RP.
It's never been like a huge issue for iPhone, but I've always noticed my tone is a little off. But then when Google does something like this, and it's like, hey, this is what we're focusing on, you're like, oh, now you can really see the difference in what you're seeing.
That makes sense.
Supposed to look like in pictures.
I didn't think of it that way.
Do you think that difference might have stemmed from, like with Samsung and Huawei and other phones like that? I know a lot of those companies tailor their cameras for beauty filters and stuff like that. That's really popular in some countries in Asia.
South Korea.
So in like, you know, other places, is that like perhaps one of the factors at play here for why cameras maybe didn't handle diverse skin tones as well from those phones?
I think
you got to think about it. Whereas when you're in, you try to build a phone for your audience, right? And if you're in South Korea and you know that you're building a phone that will go everywhere for sure, but your largest market or your biggest market will be South Korea, or your biggest market will be China for Huawei, or Taiwan if you're HTC, or OnePlus is China and India. Like you're building your phones, you're building these cameras to highlight that. You're testing these cameras out on people, of those people from in those area, countries, probably. Right?
Yeah.
So you're not really, like, your goal isn't really to satisfy them. Like, you're trying to satisfy your audience. So even though there are people in Canada and US and other countries that have people of other diverse skin tones using your phones, that's not where your mind is at, right? Whereas,
even for years too, you know what I mean? Like, just testing film and everything has always been white people. So it's like, you just, even when you were like, if you were learning to test these things, the reference material you would be using would be just all these, and you wouldn't even think, like, you probably, well, some people would, but a lot of people probably wouldn't think about diversity. Just be like, oh, this is what they were doing in the 50s. Cool. Like, okay.
The origins of photography.
Yeah, exactly.
Taking pictures of white people.
Which is unfortunate, and we're happy that's being remedied now. But yeah, I think that's probably something that's similar that's happening in, like what Dean's saying, in Asia.
Did you have any final questions, Bennett? Or like in general, like, does anybody have any final thoughts on the phones? Because I think it's a good place to wrap it up soon.
Do either of you guys feel like you would buy this phone? Would you buy the 6 or 6 Pro? You were a regular person on the street?
Probably.
Yeah.
I probably would.
I feel like I might as well.
The only thing that I think would potentially sway me is my wife uses an iPhone, so iMessage is really nice to have. It's really convenient, but also we've gotten by for years without me using iMessage.
I had to pick between iOS and Android. I still don't know where I'd lie. I'm kind of in the middle now after using an iPhone for a year because of iMessage is so fun. But if you're like, all right, well, don't buy an Apple phone. You have to pick an Android phone. I'm either thinking Pixel 6 Pro is probably the top of my list, just especially if I consider the price point. And for me, I would have to be like, I don't know if I'm going to do the Pixel 6 Pro or the Z Fold 3. But that would be,
I like the look of the Flip a lot. I don't know if I'd ever buy it, but like, I just am very attracted to that phone.
It is a very nice looking phone, but I'm like, screens, big phones, and I'm like, okay, so I don't know. I wouldn't know which one to buy, but it would probably come down to the Pixel 6 Pro just because of its price point, and I am a journalist.
Yeah, it's a good value.
Two final thoughts. The Flip is an incredibly cool looking phone, and there's no reason for me to ever buy one or want one. It just looks really cool. And then even the like flipping has no practical.
You can match purpose. It to your fridge if you got a Samsung bespoke fridge.
I'm not gonna.
My mom might buy one. I'm like, really? She gets all these like, we still have, like, gonna buy all one. These phones. She's considering it when her
place. Talking about the Flip, like, right? Not the fridge.
Yeah, the flip. Okay. The Flip. Yeah,
I want the fridge.
Important distinction.
The last thing I was gonna say too is, like, I think I am the only iPhone user in all of North America that has iMessage turned off. Like, I think that I'm the only person.
You are a monster.
I don't know anyone with an iPhone that I talk to through text, which is your like wife. Three people. Yeah, I don't need to see red receipts. I don't need her red receipts. All right, let's talk about games. What games have you guys been playing? Bennett, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, because I played a game this week, guys. A real one.
Not the game of life.
Let me get this. Yeah, one sec.
Oh, it's, you're going to hold it up?
We can't see it. You're pixelated.
Oh,
the gas can.
If you're an audio listener, now is the time to go onto YouTube. But basically, Microsoft sent us this. You can see it on our Instagram, too. It's going to be loud for a second. But it's this giant, this is a legit, like, metal, old, repurposed fuel container from World War II. Oh, my God, it's heavy. But they sent it to me, and it had a candle in it, and this Forza Xbox controller. So I'm playing Forza, and it's sick. And if you have Forza 4 or you have Game Pass, you can get the new one. There's a Battle Royale mode, and it's hilarious. It's hilariously fun. Should I outline it?
Outline it quickly.
Basically, everybody starts in a punch buggy on the map. The circle shrinks like a regular battle royale, but instead of fighting people or shooting people, if you see them, you honk at them and then you race, and a random point will appear on the map, and like, you have to cut to that point. You don't have to go on the roads. Like, you can go cross country. Basically, the first one to that point wins. If you win, you can steal the other person's car. Like, you can loot them, essentially. And then, just last person standing wins, and it's super fun. So you're, like, driving around a punch buggy. You're trying to avoid people until you can get into a faster car. And then you like, last time this brand, I got into like a level 6 car and I was like, oh, I'm going to hunt now. And I just was like driving around, just like looking for people in low tier cars and just picking them off because they just couldn't keep up. It was super fun. I mean, it's really random because Forza is just like such a straightforward racing game usually, but it is a lot of fun. I was like having a blast. I was like laughing, and I was even racing online, just regular races. And this is probably just my experience, but it was really great. The community of people that I was like online and talking to were all really friendly and like making jokes and like helpful. And it was just like, I had a great time. I haven't played games in a long time. I played Forza for like 4 hours last night and I loved it. Also, the lighting effects in the new one, really great. I was running at the highest end settings on my PC until it crashed. And it was beautiful.
I played Forza a little bit too, only like maybe a half hour or something like that. I really liked it. It seems like a great game. I think for me, I just haven't quite figured out like what the upgrades are over Horizon 4. It felt like the same game that maybe looks slightly better and there's a Ford Bronco in it, but I know there's more to it than that. I just got to get there and experience it for myself. The battle royale mode you're describing sounds incredibly sick, and I'm hyped to check that out.
So fun. It's really arcadey, you know, like even at the end, it's not like it's like the final five and it's like first person to make it to this point wins. It's like you might just start further away than everyone, you know, like it's pretty arcadey. Like don't go in expecting like I need to get my stats. It's a for fun mode, but it is really fun. One of the things I will say, Pat, in terms of improvements, and I just noticed this as I was playing online, read most of last night's play period was just racing online. But I was really, really like enjoying the tracks. Like I think I played pretty much every track in Forza 3.
Okay.
Forza Horizon 3 and Forza Horizon 4. Like I beat both of those. But I found the tracks in 5 just be really dynamic, and they're always like timed well. They would have like specific weather settings and like sun settings and like lighting, and it would just look as like as pretty as possible. And the tracks had good elevation, and like all the corners in the open world felt like a race car track corners as opposed to like real world corner, you know, like it seemed like a little more time had been spent to make sure the world was really fun to race and drive in. Not that it wasn't in other games, but, and I don't know if this was just me being hyped on the new one, but I kept bringing this up to other people and asking them, and this could be everyone hyped on the new one, but people seem to be generally agreeing with me that this, I think the tracks are better, more fun to race this time, which is a subtle thing when you're like looking at the video game. You're like, oh, they're talking about 4K 60 and new lighting and dust effects and reflections. It's like, that's all nice. But I think honestly, when I got down to it and I played for a few hours, I think the tracks were just better, just more fun to race on. And I was like super into that.
Dean, what about you? What have you been playing?
Can I go last?
Sure. You can go last. I don't know why, but you can go last. John, what have you been playing?
I feel like Dean has something planned now.
Yeah, he's going to like,
before I get into it, something. Bennett, you should totally turn that gas can into like a PC case. I think that would be a sick.
That'd be sick.
Think of the thermals on the metal. It'd be great.
The thermals would be awful.
Actively cool itself, or passively cool itself. What it's actually supposed to be, if for those listening, if you go to danishfuels.com, you can see them. But it came with these like leather straps, and they like go here, and it like supposed to hang off your wall and be a shelf. Like there's a little shelf.
Oh, that's really cool.
See it? Oh, interesting. Clear. Yeah,
it is a very cool promotional item as far as like video game swag stuff that we always get to go. It's pretty sick.
But I appreciate you describing it because I just see one large yellow pixel on my screen. Thanks to Zencaster. But
yeah, if you haven't seen it, check our Instagram. You'll see a better picture of it. But
you'll see it in the YouTube video too. Like it won't look like pixels in the actual.
Yeah, but John's YouTube not going to watch his own podcast all the way to the end.
Yeah. why would I do that?
He's already skipped here. He's had the conversations. But it's like bright yellow and has like Forza logos and it's like purple on the bottom. So it's like not necessarily an item that I would like. And it's also a World War II gas can container. So it's not necessarily like the most like easy item to incorporate in your home. Like I'm probably going to end up hanging it up in my basement, like a bottom.
You don't have a Forza themed bedroom in your apartment?
I don't have any room that's going to like mesh well with neon yellow and neon pink decor, you know?
That's fair.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Anyway, yeah, what I've been playing,
I'll make it happen.
What I've been playing this week is the same as what I've been playing most other weeks. I'm still now on that Destiny 2 life. But I do have a little anecdote to share about XCloud and Xbox Game Pass, because I used it briefly this weekend in a super weird way, and it was cool. So I went away for the weekend with my wife, and I didn't bring my computer, but I brought a laptop with me just in case I needed it for something. And while we were away, I found out, so Destiny 2 has like this rotating curation of in-game armor mods that you can buy. If you're familiar with how the game works at all, you buy mods that you can put on your armor that kind of affect how you play, and it's like a build crafting thing. So they just kind of rotate which ones are available for purchase using in-game currency, and there's a new one each day. And one that I've been waiting to buy for a while became available while we were away, and I was like, oh no, this hasn't been available for months. I don't want to wait months again to get it. So I did this really janky setup where I did cross save between my Steam account, because I normally play on PC, and Xbox, and then the game Destiny 2 is available on Xbox, so I use xCloud game streaming to stream it to my laptop. But I didn't have a controller with me, so then I set up this weird software to emulate an Xbox controller using the keyboard on my laptop, just so I could go into the game for 3 minutes to purchase the mod thing that I wanted. And it was the most absurd setup, but it actually worked. And I was like, yes, this
is perfect place to tell that story. That's amazing.
This is the ideal xCloud scenario. So if you're not sold on xCloud and game streaming yet, just know one day you'll want to do something in a game when you don't have access to your console or your computer.
It's a part-time job.
Do it.
You never have to put it away anymore. Keep it in your pocket.
Friend of the podcast, Douglas, would be amazed at you and very impressed.
He would. Douglas would be like losing it right now.
I miss that guy sometimes.
I went into his Twitter space last night. For the week.
I saw.
Oh, did you have a Twitter space last night?
Yeah, it was about how like Canadian businesses can interact with the press in better ways.
Oh no,
I didn't. That
sounds riveting. Listening.
Yeah,
Dean.
But no, wait. Just before you go away. Why did you have to emulate a controller? Can you just play mouse and keyboard controls on a laptop?
No, xCloud does not support mouse and keyboard controls in some games.
That makes sense. I was wondering,
some games will support it, some games do not. Destiny 2 is one of those ones that does not, for whatever reason. So,
fair enough. Yeah, I was just curious about that. But either way, crazy story. That's amazing. I'm so like thrilled that happened. What a like riveting like hacker gamer moment. Anyway, sorry, Dean.
Yeah.
Patrick, what games have you been playing this weekend? This past week?
I already said Forza.
You said Forza for 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. You only played for 30 minutes. Okay, cool. Yeah, okay, guys. So I played Apex. Like, there's a new character. Whatever, who cares? I've been playing Smash Brothers. Because, again, a new character. Whatever, who cares? And, snap.
Who is that? It's Apex telling you, like, talk about our characters.
It's calling. EA calling.
Yeah. It's my tile. Sorry, it's my tile.
Oh,
my
did this the other day when we were in the car,
all the
too.
Time. It's very annoying.
He's got a tile in his wallet, and if you press the button on it, it like rings where your
is
phone
is. The tile
is.
Wallet?
Yeah. So if he leans on his wallet the wrong way.
How'd that happen?
It happens to me all the time. But none of that's important. None of those tile stuff is important. None of the games I've been playing is important.
The suspense
is
building.
What
game
important
is Dean playing?
Is how obsessed I've been with Elden Ring. I've been watching so many videos of this game. So last week they showed like a 15 minute or 19 minute trailer or gameplay, whatever. And I've watched maybe 5 or 6 different breakdowns of this one 19 minute clipping. And like some of these breakdowns are like an hour long. And I just sat down and just watched it. And holy crap, I'm so excited. They just released. People have been other publications, not us, which breaks my heart so much, released like gameplay of like the closed network test that's happening this weekend. They've been like showing off what they've been doing, and I'm not gonna work for the rest of the day. I don't know if Patrick knows that yet, but I'm just gonna watch all of these.
I don't like
I should be hopefully by this point while you're watching this, I will have played 3 hours of the game, because hopefully I will have been on a closed network test that starts Friday at 6 a.m. And I plan on waking up at 6 a.m. just so I can start playing. But
you're crazy about this game.
I am obsessed. I've never been so obsessed about a game before. Like I'm excited. Like I was excited for Cyberpunk and I was excited for Demon's Souls. But I've never ever been like, oh my gosh, let me just consume all the content and waste all my time just so that I can learn more about this world that was created by George R.R. Martin. who is the creator of the Songs of Ice and Fire, which Game of Thrones, and everyone loves that. So it's really cool that they combine his lore into a Dark Souls game that plays kind of like Breath of the Wild and Skyrim all in one huge thing. And I'm obsessed and I can't wait to play it. And it comes out February 25th. I know, but there's a beta this weekend and I'm supposed to be doing things this weekend. Like I have a birthday party, a birthday thing to do, and I'm going to, like, I'm supposed to have like a sleepover with some of my friends. And I'm like, I don't know, guys. Like, I don't know if I have time for all that because I have to play this game. I'm obsessed about it.
I had to play this 3-hour demo as many times as possible.
Yeah, I hopefully it's not 3-hour demo. It's 3 hours blocks of times you get to play this.
Oh, so you could make it further every time.
Yes, exactly. So, and it's only over 72 hours of time. But other publications have had this game for like had this whole block of area for like a few days now. So this one guy is like, I spent 72 hours playing this game. And I'm like, whoa, you spent 72 hours in this one area. And you got to think about it, like just the one area, the first area of like, I would compare it to the first area of Breath of the Wild. I mean, I'm sure it's like a lot bigger.
Spending 72 but like hours just in one Dean's area. Dreams.
Yeah. I'm just obsessed and I'm super, I'm jealous that I didn't get it. I'm jealous that I have to wait. I am hoping that Pat comes through with something.
I'm working on it. I'm trying.
Yeah, and I'm
you should have told me you were trying to take the whole day off. You should have just structured this in the wrong way.
I might have to review another game during this time, and I'm just like, I don't have the time for that. But yeah, no, I'm super excited and I can't wait.
Yeah, this other game Dean's like shrugging to the curb is only Pokemon.
Yeah.
No.
Is that what you're talking about? You're excited.
I know.
I'm super happy for you, but I don't think there's a game in existence that I could give less shits about. Like on Earth. Like,
and we talked about five Netflix games at the top of the show.
I would rather play those Netflix games than Elden Ring.
Okay, you gotta think. Okay, wow. You love Oblivion. Yeah.
I don't. The only Elder Scrolls game that I really Morrowind. Like is Morrowind.
Okay, my
Oblivion's
bad.
Fine. I played it a bit, but like Morrowind, I like lived in when I was in high school. That's the one that I have like an nostalgic.
Think an Elder Scrolls game. Think Breath of the Wild. That I know you.
I know.
And then just Dark Souls combat, which means it's just better.
That's
combat.
Where you lose me. That's
no. It means it's hard.
I can't do that. Nails. Ultra difficult combat. It's like it's not for me. I understand why people like it.
They've
but it's
added things to make it easier this time around.
Like easy how for easy? Someone who's really bad at video games, because that's me.
No, but I'm Creed not good at video easy? Games either.
Yeah, but... Assassin's Creed 3 easy. Yeah,
an X to parry. Ching, no. Stab.
No,
ching,
I am super stab. Excited. And I can't wait to get my hands on at least the beta. I'm hoping that I know that Bandai Namco is not listening to our podcast right now, but we should just send them this clip just so they can see how excited I am. And be like, hey,
just get clip me it out, send game. It as an audio file and an email.
Yeah, exactly.
Use that as your little behind the scenes podcast. Use that as your tweet to promote the podcast. This week I was on the podcast. Here's a clip of me talking about Elden Ring at Bandai Namco. Eyes. Do that.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good place to wrap it up. I guess I could mention that like I have a cool gaming thing coming up too that I don't think anyone here knows about, and I can't talk about it. I can't even say what it is, but it's pretty big. Wow. It's pretty cool.
Can you tell us when you guys stop recording?
I'm curious.
I'll tell you guys after. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's it. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at Patrick_Rourke, and of course on mobilesyrup.com. Bennett, where can people find you?
You can find me anywhere at the Bradfat, including roaming the Mexican streets in Forza now. And also, you can find my work on mobilesyrup.com and our YouTube channel. And I'm hoping to like maybe get some more TikToks and social media video going over the next month. So maybe you'll see me there as well. But no promises yet.
You have a cool video about the Polestar 2 on the YouTube channel too, right?
Yeah, the Polestar 2 video is up. If you're thinking about getting an electric car and you have the money to buy a Tesla, but you don't really want a Tesla, I think this is a really great option. One thing I will say going into that video is I say that it's charging at 50 kilowatts. It has been an upgrade. It does charge at 150. The rest of it is pretty good though. Enjoy.
John, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at John_Lamont. That's JON_LAMONT. You can also find me on the website mobilesyrup.com and wandering the Shattered Realm in Destiny 2.
Shattered Realm. And Dean, where can people
I think
find
that's
you?
What it's called.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
You can find me on Insta and Twitter at The Daily Dean. And this week, it's this weekend, hopefully in the lands between, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, if he's not there, he'll be in a lawn chair in front of Bandai's office, so you can talk to him.
Honestly, like, LA, I am going. Like, I don't know if Bandai Namco's in LA, but I mean, I don't think
I don't know.
I'm assuming it's Asia.
Yeah, exactly, right? But yeah.
And as always, you can find all of our content on mobilesyrup.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at mobilesyrup. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.